Elizabeth Elliot says, "I think we might divide up all the people in the world into two classes, the complainers and the thankful. Which are you? Which am I?" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, the challenging radio ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty and Passion and Purity, Learning to Bring Your Love Life Under God's Control. Helping you find joy in your Christian walk with the Savior today. Here's Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you this time about when did God start loving me? I'll never forget my visit to the hospital when my first granddaughter was born. You know what it's like. You walk down that hallway with anticipation. You get to the window, you look through, and here are all these boxes with tiny little babies in them. And the nurse brings the most gorgeous one over to the window. Here she was. This was ours. And this little girl had my name. Her name is also Elizabeth, spelled with an S. She was beautiful. She was perfect. Everything about her enthralled me. Every characteristic was calculated, it seemed, to mystify and to melt the heart of a grandmother. It was as if I had never seen a newborn baby before. I looked at her, I feasted my eyes on her, and then my eyes wandered to the back of the nursery, where there were some very special kinds of boxes with extremely small people in them. Tiny little creatures, almost like spiders, it seemed. The boxes, of course, were incubators. These were the premature babies. Very fragile, eyes bandaged against the light that they had over the box. And I thought of my little nephew, now my big nephew. He's a freshman in college now. But my nephew Charles weighed 2.5 pounds when he was born. I remember the night my brother Tom called me to say it looks as though we're losing our baby. He had been born 3 months premature. I rushed down to New York to take care of their other child while he spent time in the hospital with his wife. And that little tiny child, because he was put into one of those special boxes and hovered over and cared for, and all the miracles of modern medicine and technique were brought to bear to save his life, survived. And he's now a big, strapping teenager. He was loved, loved by God, loved by his parents, and loved even by others. I remember the nurses with their hands in the rubber gloves that are set in the sides of the incubators, so tenderly taking care of those tiny little babies at the back of the nursery. And then another picture flashed into my mind, a news picture that I had seen of black plastic garbage bags filled with babies, dead babies. Just a morning's work in one hospital. They were the rejects. I'll never get the picture out of my mind, I don't suppose. I thought of those babies, all of them perfectly normal, many of them almost 9 months along. I wondered, who makes the selections? Who decides that some human beings are acceptable and some are not? Some can be surgically, chemically, mechanically removed from that place which used to be considered the safest place in the world, a mother's womb. And which ones will be preserved from the surgery, the chemistry, the mechanics? The U.S. Supreme Court made a decision years ago that certain people, if they were young enough, if they were helpless enough, could be killed. It goes without saying that they never called them people. They were tissue, disposable tissue, just like Kleenex, in other words, just fetuses. And if we stick with language like that, it doesn't sound quite so bad, does it? We wouldn't think of putting people into black plastic garbage bags. We wouldn't suck them out with suction tubes or scrape them out or burn them with saline solution. But as long as we can tell ourselves that they're not people, we have no guilt, no responsibility. We live in a society that is almost fanatical about accepting responsibility up to a point for refugees, street people, the insane, criminals. My question with regard to what was in those black plastic garbage bags was, what is it? What exactly is it that people are throwing away? What are the nurses who have to put the babies in those bags? What are the doctors who are giving the orders, calling whatever it is? Tissue? I've been told that they're called PCs. Not personal computers, but products of conception, of no more significance than a personal computer, perhaps of less. The product of conception. Well, what are you and I? We are PCs, aren't we? Every one of us. Products of conception. Is there anything morally wrong with this? Is it merely a matter of opinion? Is it just a matter of what we feel good about, or what we have been raised to think, or somebody else jamming his morality down our throats? Is this merely Elizabeth Elliot nattering on about something that she happens to feel strongly about but really isn't of any very great importance? Well, if you don't take the Word of God as the Word of God, it won't necessarily be a matter of great importance, but I would like to read to you from Psalm 139. The psalmist is speaking there of the inescapability of God, not with any sense of fear, not with a pejorative sense that one would want to escape from God, but he's referring to the sense of being hovered over and cared for and protected and followed by God. He begins with, "Lord, thou hast examined me and knowest me. Thou knowest all. Whether I sit down or rise up, thou hast discerned my thoughts from afar." He goes on to speak of God's tracing his journey, his resting place. He knows every word on his tongue. "Where can I escape from thy spirit? Where can I flee from thy presence? If I climb up to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, again I find thee." And then he says, "Thou it was who didst fashion my inward parts. Thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for thou dost fill me with awe. Wonderful thou art, and wonderful thy works. Thou knowest me through and through. My body is no mystery to thee. How I was secretly kneaded into shape and patterned in the depths of the earth. Thou didst see my limbs unformed in the womb. And in thy book they were all recorded. Day by day they were fashioned. Not one of them was late in growing. Thou didst see my limbs unformed in the womb." You know, a baby has to be extremely small for its limbs to be unformed. I have the replica of an 11-week-old fetus, embryo, they might call it. The limbs are perfectly formed. The face is formed. The little ears, the nose, the tiny fingers. Even the genitals are visible. But God saw that little child before it was formed in the womb. He was beholding what was going on there. And the psalmist says, "In thy book they are all recorded." He didn't look upon it as a product of conception. And then the psalmist ends with these words, "Examine me, O God, and know my thoughts. Test me and understand my misgivings. Watch, lest I follow any path that grieves thee. Guide me in the ancient ways." The ancient ways would be for a mother to take care of her child, to protect it with her very life, rather than to choose to discard it. Those who call themselves pro-choice would never use the language which would include the choice to kill a child. No, they would say most vehemently, "It's not a child." Not very long ago, my husband and I had lunch with a very sweet young woman, a beautiful woman, blonde, blue-eyed. As we sat at lunch in her humble little house, she told us the story of her life, how when she was a child, her mother had abandoned her, then her father had kicked her out when she was 16 years old. I said, "Where did you go?" She said, "Well, I didn't have any place to go, really, but I had a boyfriend, so I moved in with him. And I lived there for 6 years. I had a baby while I was there. And she went on and told the rest of her story and how she had finally come to the Lord and now was serving the Lord. And when she and I were alone later on, I looked at her and I said, "And the baby?" And I will never forget the look in her eyes, those big blue eyes, such a look of sorrow and passion. And she just looked at me silently for a minute, and then she said, "Dead. I killed it." And I said, "It was an abortion?" And she said, "Yes," and her eyes filled with tears. And we had been talking about the people who are obstructing the entrance of people into abortion clinics, the Operation Rescue, I think it's called. And I said to her, "If there had been people there that day obstructing the place where you went to have that baby removed, would you have been glad?" And the tears were pouring down her face, and she said, "Oh, if there had been one person that had come to me and said, 'Please don't do this, we'll help you,'" she said, I know that I would have followed them." She said, "I knew what I was doing was wrong, but I didn't think there was anything else to do. If anybody had tried to stop me." I think of the words in Proverbs chapter 24. "When you see someone being dragged to be killed, go to his rescue and save those being hurried away to their death. If you say, 'But I do not know this person,' God, who fixes a standard for the heart, will take note. God, who watches you, be sure he will know. He will requite every man for what he does." May God give us Christians the courage to stand up on behalf of these helpless, speechless, tiny creatures, these who are people made by God, loved by God, whose limbs unformed in the womb God knew.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.